Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
I did a softcore history before this, and I had to
I'm glad you added history after that. Yeah. People are going to know about
I did
job.
Some Cinemax, Skinemax. Is that still a thing? Do they have Skinemax, Cinemax?
I don't know. Well, when you signed the contract, where they say they were posting the new Red Shoe Diaries?
I think it was, they said it was like a streaming. I thought,
it's probably
I don't
going
know.
On Peacock.
That's what they always say these days when I do stuff. They go, oh, it's streaming. It could be anywhere. Yeah, but I did softcore history and I had to kind of sip, right? I don't know if I did a good job. I may be wasted. Softcore history with this guy, Dan Delco Register, helping us out today. Coming in for Coop, possibly permanently on the ones and twos.
I think at some point, I think he's going to take over for me and for Joel.
Listen, it's just going to be me and some kind of football game going on and Delco being like, all right, I'll do it, maybe.
Eventually, you'll just set up the camera at home and have Ross ignoring you in the background watching sports and you'll just be talking to the camera.
Not a horrible idea, Coop.
I mean, you're doing it anyway.
Joel is in Detroit. He's in Detroit doing some sports thing because you know he loves sports.
Huge sports fan.
Any kind. So he was like, can I please go to the game? They were like, all right, Joel, we know how much you love Detroit, the Detroit Timberlions, and you can go. But we were like, listen, we haven't seen each other in a while. We've got to do a crime corner. Mm-hmm. Delco can do it.
Also, I'm not allowed in Detroit. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't, I mean, without even hearing the story, I feel.
It's a little mini crime corner if you want to let me explain.
Are you really not?
No, I'm not allowed.
Okay,
no,
let's
honestly,
hear.
I thought that Pennsylvania was downstream from Detroit. I figured if you were from Pennsylvania, you're banned from going there anyway.
Yeah, it's my whole family, actually.
No way.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was lieutenant governor of Michigan.
Okay.
Frank Murphy. Got kicked out of office for embezzlement, chased out of town.
And it banned your,
yeah.
your entire
well,
lineage.
Now listen.
Can't go back to Detroit.
It's more of a principal thing.
That's the kind of thing. I was just going to say.
Respect.
They're not saying you're not allowed in here, but it's like they know. You know they know they know that you know, right? You can't go in there. You can't step foot back. Stay out of Malibu, Lebowski, right? That's the thing.
You know what? I'd say that it's respectable because it sounds like the decision was mutual.
Yeah. It's like he's saying he's not allowed in Detroit, but his real sentiment is I would never fucking go to Detroit even if you paid me $5 million. You know what I mean? So it's like it's I'm not allowed / fuck you.
From
right?
the sounds of it, he already got what he wanted out of Detroit before he left anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where Joel is, but we are here and we're gonna have a great time. Good fun. I'm good. I'm doing great, right? Clearly.
Totally sober.
I seem lucid. The flow. It's flowing, right? Sentences are going good for me.
It's not like you had an entire hour and a half episode to warm up.
I know. Get it together. Get it together. Welcome to Crime Corner.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
I will replace you both, but I love you and thank you so much for being here for this awesome. When I sent this to you, you were like, fuck yeah.
I was fucking stoked.
It's a class. We're going back to a classic. We did a couple that was like, we did a heavy hitter with a Pamela Smart. We did a fun little chat room murder plot twist where, you know, it was like a catfish, almost no murder.
Overall,
right? Nobody died in that.
Yeah, surprising amount of catfish stories.
Yeah, so we've been doing some different ones. We're going to go back to our tried and true, old trusty. Now, what do we call these? It's basically like, you didn't want to just get a divorce. Do you know what I mean? Like the ones are like, divorce was really that out of the question?
These are one of the... Divorce is an option.
Yes, kind of
case.
It's one of those like, hey, bud, real quick. High powered, rich dude. Divorce would go your way. Do you know what I mean? When it's a wife offing her husband, there's a little bit to that where you just go in the divorce, by the way, she would get screwed.
Yeah.
Do you know? When it's a guy, it's like, dude, you're going to get fucking everything.
Women die all the time. And nobody cares.
Whoopsie daisy.
Just let it go.
Let it go. So one of those.
Yeah.
One of our old trustees. This is a fun case of rich people, husband and wife. Couple of things I want to say on the top. This involves a dentist. Trigger warning. If you guys have any... You know, dentist
really,
stuff.
I don't really fuck with dentists.
No shit. The amount of fucking crooked dentists, honestly.
Mm.
It's one of those weird...
Well, it's one of those weird industries because a bunch of like wealth managers bought local dentists and they're always like for profit. So they always like, even if they don't have a cavity, just say they do.
Yes.
Drill, baby, drill.
That's a lot really? Of the dentists.
Dude, what BlackRock owns a shit ton of like local dentistry. It's weird.
There's a lot of like, not murder, but like con, you know, fraud cases because of dentists being like, oh, you're going to have to get that out or messing teeth up. So they come back because it's mostly not very many people have dental insurance. You
we
know,
don't.
If your employer, right.
Yeah.
If your employer does, maybe, but otherwise you're out of pocket.
Yeah. I pay for it.
Yeah.
Like it's not really
Everyone
a dental
does.
Insurance thing. It's more of the dental plan they offer.
Yeah. But the dental plan,
it's
by
like
the way,
a
is
club
a,
kind of thing.
It is. Yeah.
No, it's a credit card that is basically funded by them.
Yeah.
So they get their money. And then if you default on whatever loan they fucking gave you, they send you to the other people. You have nothing to do with them anymore. So it's this weird kind of medical thing that's still pay to play kind of thing.
I was out on dentist during that claymation movie for Christmas, Rudolph. The Red Nosed
Reindeer. You know this one?
Yeah.
Oh, like with the Island of Lost Children.
Yes.
Misfit Toys. Island of Misfit Toys.
Misfit Toys. Yeah.
But I was out on the Elf.
That was your dream. Island. That was a fantasy you had. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Epstein
yeah.
beat me to it.
The Elf Herbie wanted to become a dentist. And he was just ripping people's teeth out. He ripped out the abominable snowman's teeth.
He was psycho about it, remember? He was like, can I just rip your teeth? He was like, I want to be a dentist. And all he really wanted was to rip people's teeth out.
He's a fucking psychopath.
Psycho.
I actually never watched those because I was raised in a cult.
Oh, that's right.
Which Christmas
we've
was,
got to, by the way.
Christmas was a pagan holiday.
We've got guys. To get to one of these days. And I'd
there.
Love to hear your story, Coop. I really do.
Surprising lack of sex. I hate to break
your
heart.
It was one of those cults?
No, it wasn't even one of the good sex cults.
What's the point?
Exactly.
What is the point of a cult if you're not having sex?
It was with your family, right? So I don't know if I want a family sex cult.
Yeah, but the whole family was in the larger cult.
Yeah, it would have been part of the process. Southeast Oregon, things like that happen.
Yes, yeah, someone would have been wanting to have sex with you, or you would have been given to some higher up, right?
I'd be married right now if I would have stayed in. To a very nice gentleman that was around the church.
To a dude.
In secret.
So yeah, first of all, first trigger warning is dentist. And then second one is big game hunting, and not just big. I know you guys aren't triggered by that. You may be triggered by my hatred. Not for it. I'm not, you know, you guys know I don't give a shit about animals, really. There's just something fucking weird about the big game shit. And I'm sure we're going to get messages of it's conservation as well as you don't get us a winner and a winner and a mare.
Stolen valor.
Not when you're backing like a rhino into a corner in a fenced in like area.
Yeah, with a guide that's basically found it and basically just puts the gun in your hand. After they're almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's something weird about needing to be the one that takes down. And I have questions about it. I don't know. Do you get to keep these things, or you literally just say that you did it? The picture, right? You have the picture with the big horns or the thing.
As far as I know, you get a picture with it. You can probably get it taxidermied if you have the money to fly the corpse back and get it treated and everything. But a lot of the animals that they're killing, like, they're not eating those fucking things.
No, they're not eating them. But I guess the amount it would take to taxidermy and send back to like the States, mm-hmm. no one's doing that either, right?
I had a buddy, he's South African. He would take a lot of like royal princes, like from Saudi, a lot of sheiks would come down to South Africa to big game hunt. Mm. And this fucking one prince really wanted to kill this endangered animal. It was, I think, like a leopard of some sort.
Interesting you say that.
And he's like, what's the price? Yeah. What's the price? And they're like, I don't know, man. Like, it's fucking endangered. We can't do it. And he's like, $1 million. And they're like, all right.
Yes.
Bet. We'll do it.
Of course.
So they end up shooting this fucking little leopard, and they're like, all right, what do you want? You want us to skin it? You want to eat it? You want to like get the pelt? And he's like, no. And he just left.
That's what I mean.
Just show the corpse to its babies.
That's what I mean. I don't think they even take anything. But listen, what the fuck do I know? You guys, Ruben's going to tell me all about it. Don't worry.
I'll correct you along the way.
Thank you. That is your job as the man of the show. But yeah, this is a fun one where you might have some opinions already.
I think we both have a lot of opinions on it.
But also, this is another one where we don't know. We actually don't know what happened. What we do know is we don't like it. It's fishy.
Yeah.
You guys let us know. So this is the case of Bianca Rudolph.
Hearing a gunshot on a hunting safari is perfectly normal. Hearing a gunshot followed by a scream for help, however, is definitely cause for concern. And that is exactly what hunting guides at a Zambian resort heard in the early morning hours of October 11th, 2016. They followed the calls for help to the cabin of Larry and Bianca Rudolph, where they discovered Larry crouched over his mortally wounded wife, frantically trying to give her CPR. Sadly, it was already too late to save her. Larry told the safari guides that he had been in the bathroom wrestling with one of those elusive brown anacondas when he heard a gunshot. He rushed into the bedroom. I had to put a poop joke.
Coo.
I couldn't tell if that was going to be taken as a poop joke or a sex joke, but either way it works.
It was a poop joke, and you know how I feel about it.
Well, obviously.
I would rather it be a jerk-off joke.
You don't like scat?
It's a sex joke.
You don't like scat jokes?
I don't like the pee-pee poo-poo, but I'll, you know.
Hey, it might have been a big black dick that he was in there with. You don't know. Because like you just said, none of us were
there when it
happened. There's lots of them there. Believe you me. He rushed into the bedroom to find his wife on the floor in a pool of blood. Next to her was a Browning semi-automatic shotgun hanging partially out of its gun case. It appeared as though Bianca had accidentally discharged the weapon as she was packing it for their return trip to the U.S. later that day. Zambian authorities carried out an investigation which concluded that there had been no foul play. The officials stated that, quote, do I do an African accent or is that...
Well, let's do your normal, let's do the accent that you do, which is a pirate.
Yeah, dealer's choice, man.
Yeah, well, he only has one.
Hey, you know what? Africans can be pirates too. We've learned that in recent history.
I think it actually might sound like more accurate than you think. Let's hear it.
Normal safety precautions at the time of packing the firearm were not taken into consideration, causing the firearm to accidentally fire.
That was great. It could have been Zambian.
I was going to go.
But it was a pirate. African, yeah. Yeah, it was a pirate for sure. I think I was looking for a picture of this gun case because. Let's see. Let me try Bianca. Bianca Rudolph gun case because you kind of need to see a picture of. The case, the gun case after, because it's a soft, well, I'm not finding it, but it was it's a soft gun case, zipper up. It's almost closed and the gunshot is through the closed part of the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, Larry's story was true. Bianca had accidentally shot herself in the chest. By the way, not just in the chest, she shot herself right in the heart, while putting the 12 gauge into its travel case. Her death was a tragic conclusion to their much anticipated 2-week hunting excursion to Africa, where Bianca hoped to bag her first leopard. So Delco,
she
I sent you
$500,000 for it.
I sent you a picture of it was Bianca and Larry on safari. And I think it's this time. It's either this time or another time. They would go to Zambia a lot. They even had a cabin built there. They were both avid, you know, very comfortable with guns and loved big game. So that's them. I don't know if I don't know if I like them. No, like, would I fucking chill with those? With those people, you know what I'm saying? But anyway.
I mean, with the cutoff shirt, I would think that maybe he's from like Louisiana or something like that. He'd probably be fun to hang out with, but no, he's not a real redneck. He's a fake redneck.
And this is where it gets
again,
weird too.
Valor.
Where Bianca hoped to bag her first leopard. Like that, it's just what we were talking about. Why?
We're going to get into it later in the episode, but the way that they handle all that shit, I hate to put it this way, but it just grosses me out.
Yeah.
Like the way that they monetize the whole situation. Yeah. I understand monetization, but it's just like, oh, come on. You can't call yourself a hunter.
Right. But anyway, listen, what the fuck do we know? But I'm just saying we get a weird feeling from it to have a lady be like, oh man, I just want to shoot a leopard, right? Like that's really what gets me off. Instead, she bagged the most dangerous game of all, a Pennsylvania housewife.
I bet Delco could speak to that.
Right? Clearly, after any wrongdoing, Larry was given cleared of any wrongdoing, Larry was given custody of Bianca's remains so he could bring them home to their grieving family and friends.
How many miles per hour can the average woman from Pennsylvania throw a battery?
55, probably. 55, yeah. 55 to 60 miles an hour. Same as any guy that tries to go to the speed pitch machine at a baseball game. He's going to claim he can hit 90 or even maybe even 85, but he's always going to hit 50, 56. It's never really more than that.
It's so perfect that you're on this case with us.
Yeah. This is a good one because it also feels like you feel the same way about this. Dentist and big game.
I know.
Bianca Fenizio met Larry Rudolph.
You gotta put your hand up. Fenizio.
The douche and the gagoosh.
Bibbidi-bobbidi.
Bianca, what?
Venizio.
Venizio met Larry.
There's a silent T in there somewhere.
Met Larry Rudolph.
Ugh.
Should have kept that fucking sweet last name.
Also, you never fuck with anybody named Larry.
No.
It's just that's a sex offender's name.
Seriously. I mean, how do you moan his name in bed? Oh, Larry.
Oh, God. No,
Larry. It's always going to Larry. So they met at the university.
That made it worse.
They met at the University of Pittsburgh in the late 70s while they were both studying to pursue a career in dentistry. Two dentists that love big game hunting found each other. After graduation, the pair continued
good
dating.
Luck finding somebody relatable in this episode.
Right. Find someone you like. There's a top for every pot, huh? After graduation, the pair continued dating and eventually got married in 1982. What up? From there, they began having children and building a life together.
God bless them.
Oh, don't you? Don't you just bless them? Bianca and Larry spent a few years gaining some experience before making a leap into opening their own dental practice. Their initial clinic was a success, allowing them to invest in expanding their business into a network. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was totally on the up and up, right? Their years of hard work paid off, and the Three Rivers Dental Group was born. And Delco, I sent you a commercial. They were local sensations. Everyone knew them. They did very, very well.
And all their videos, it's always like, okay, so if you get this many people in your downline, then all of that profit's going to be coming towards mm-hmm, you. It's going to be going mm-hmm. up to the top. But overall, honestly, like they turned this into a powerhouse. Like they made millions off
absolutely.
Of this business.
I was so embarrassed, but I was afraid to see a dentist. Then Mary told me about Three Rivers Dental. I got all my dental work done in one visit while I was asleep. I woke up to a new smile.
At Three Rivers Dental,
there
we
is.
Offer comfy
There's the man himself.
Larry.
In one visit.
Dr. Larry Rudolph.
Dr. Larry Rudolph.
Wake up.
He didn't spend 2 years in community college to be called Mr. Really thank you very much.
He looks so normal.
He does.
Yeah. One of those. Like we have those in Austin, in Drip, where it's just like local, you see so many of the ads that you're just like, they're killing
it. Well, it's like local dentists and car salesmen are the only people that advertise like that. I never see anybody else putting out commercials like that.
Shit tons of money and they need a co-signer, which is a commercial, right? For legitimacy. Yeah. They were an interesting dental practice in that, yeah, so they put you out for everything. So, like, you were sedated or laughing gas or something where you were sedated for every procedure that happened.
So that's a technique learned from the prestigious Cosby School of Dentistry?
That's a fun technique where you can do whatever you want to the teeth. Now, look. I'm not saying that there was anything weird like that going on. What I was saying is, like Delco was talking about most dentists, where it's like, I don't know if they chipped another tooth and then were, you know,
you
or
can
did
never know.
Something weird to another tooth while you're out and then be like, oh, I guess you need to come back. I don't know.
We lasted so long without dentists as a species, right?
Right.
Like, are they needed? Are they necessary?
100. No, go to England. Tell me.
Dentists are a scam just as much as chiropractors are a scam. It's a pseudoscience.
Coop.
I don't honestly believe that.
I know you don't.
I had to have two teeth pulled because of that belief.
Exactly.
I've weirdly only had like one cavity.
Yeah, really? It's one of those things that like people will say like sugar, whatever, whatever. But it's a lot of genetics. It's a lot of environment.
Overall, it seems like you eat pretty healthy, so
I don't really eat sugar anymore, but I mean, as a kid.
As a kid, right? Yeah. Everyone should, by their metrics, by the metrics of the dentist, like everyone should have a shit ton of cavities.
Everyone should have all of their baby teeth naturally rot out on their own. That's the way my family always did it.
And they are always like, oh, hey, you should floss. All right. Why?
Oh, that is a fucking racket. I took my kids to the dentist and it was a baby tooth. I refused
to do that dance.
It was a baby tooth that had something, whatever. And I was like, you're going to charge me what? To pull his baby tooth? Doesn't that sound fucking weird?
Yeah, I'm going to get a string and a door.
Well, I'm like, it's going to come out.
Well, hang on. Did the baby tooth have an absorbed twin attached to it? Because that's usually a little bit more complicated to get rid of.
No, but now I'm like talking through it. Hey guys, I wanted to tell you about a new sponsor on Crime Corner that I'm really excited about. Mochi Health. M-O-C-H-I Health. Mochi Health. You guys know I have one soapbox, right? I have one thing that I will, you know, get a little preachy about, and that's it. But you guys know what it is. Our healthcare system has a history of blaming people's weight on their, you know, bad behavior. It's a moral failing. You know, you're going to have to fix that first before we can help you with anything else. But in the meantime, we will, you know, treat your symptoms. Okay, I'm going to stop. But the reason why I love Mochi Health and that it's a perfect sponsor for me and my crazy soapbox is it's a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking weight loss treatment, whatever that means for you, to they're connecting you guys to board certified doctors and dietitians to help determine what the best options and what the best plan is to get you to that whatever goal you may have. Again, that could be GLP-1s, that could be GLP-1s for a little bit of time, coupled with, you know, their nutritionists that can help you get to a place where you may not be on GLP-1s anymore, which is probably everyone's goal. But they are going to talk to you and treat you as a patient that is individual, but it's all online. So you can, you know, access their services anywhere in the US and you will be meeting with their team online. And you guys together, the doctor, the board certified nutritionist and doctor that you talk to, you guys can decide what it is that you want to do moving forward. They do have, you know, access to GLP-1s, Ozempic, Mounjaro, Zepbound, all of those versions of that, compounded versions of that. They connect the providers with the patients to discuss evidence-based weight loss strategies using every tool in their toolbox, licensed RDNs, MDs, they're certified in obesity medicine. You know, whatever you're dealing with, talk to the doctors at Mochi and they will come up with, based on what you're telling them, fears, you know, your background, whatever it may be, they're going to come up with the best thing that's going to work for you and get you into a healthy place, right? Don't get me started. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle and that are going to get you to a place where this is going to be a big change in your life. I love Mochi. I love their approach. I love the way that they're trying to change the way healthcare works in this country and especially how healthcare deals with obesity or weight or anything. I love that about them. Get started today. Go to joinmochi.com. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE. Just like how it sounds, guys. You know Crime Juice. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE to receive $40 off. That is a great deal. Go to joinmochi.com. Use promo code CRIMEJUICE to get $40 off. And listen, just talk to them. See if it's something that you want to do, if it's something that can help you. That's the kind of place that Mochi is. Check them out.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Where I'm like, that's the racket of it as well.
Private wealth, private equity. I'm telling you, they buy all these dentistries and they're like, you need to make more money.
Yes. They're like, oh, we're going to have to pull it. I'm like, well, I think nature will do that. Literally, right?
Yeah,
isn't that the whole fucking point? I don't know. What do I know, Larry? Larry. As the dental group continued to grow, so did Larry's work hours. As they do. Sorry, babe, late at work. With two young children at home, Bianca decided it would be best if she stayed at home and watched the kids full time. The clinics were making money faster than they could spend it, so there was no need for her to continue working anyways. So Larry kept the clinics running while Bianca kept the home running.
And they really were making a shitload of money. I mean, not hundreds of millions, but like millions and millions a year. Very, very comfortable lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
So Larry and Bianca had no trouble finding ways to spend their hard-earned money. And I do want to say, give them respect for starting the business, because they did turn a single dental practice into an entire dental group and made millions off of it. So, I mean, props to that.
For sure.
They lived in a nice house, drove nice cars, and ate nice food. They also took on some very expensive hobbies. In the early 2000s, they found one of their favorite pastimes, traveling to exotic locations to find exotic animals. Then they would shoot those exotic animals with well-made, sturdy American weapons, thus ensuring man continued to reign supreme over nature.
For no reason.
I grew up in a family of hunters. I have a lot of respect for hunters. Not these kind of hunters,
different.
Though.
It's different.
The Rudolphs were avid, quote-unquote, hunters.
Sure.
Over the years, they took countless trips abroad where they killed more exotic animals than a Barnum and Bailey circus. It was like Noah's Ark if Noah shot each animal in the back of the head as they stepped aboard. It's like combining Noah's Ark and Schindler's List.
Love it. Love it.
So Larry himself took hunting very seriously. And I know these types of people, and already rubs me the wrong way. He took it so seriously, in fact, that he ran a successful campaign to become the president of hunting, which I didn't even know was a position.
Wait, like in his like local chapter or something?
No, just the entire sport.
Yeah, the entire.
Come
it's
on.
Like when they say Putin's the head of the judo committee.
Yeah, actually, exactly.
Really? Didn't they have some kind of like club or something? Oh, the Safari Club International. Yeah.
He and his wife had joined a club called Safari Club International, which helped them organize their hunting trips. I cannot imagine how insufferable these groups of people would have been to hang out around.
Can you imagine?
Not a single genuine phrase said the entire time you're around them. It's all just asking about other people's kids so you can brag about your own kids kind of thing.
Right.
So when it came time for the club to elect a new president, Larry threw his hat in the ring. His campaign was a success, and he was elected to be the president of Safari Club International.
What a douche.
Okay, this might be speaking more about me than it is about him, but who joins a club like that and is like, I'm going to run this fucking place? Like, how is that so important to him that he becomes the president of Safari Club International? Like, that's where you want to place your time and energy to get that power?
There are definitely people like that, though, right? Exactly what you're saying, which is like they go into a club, any kind of club that they join, and they have to run it.
And even like not only running the club, but just becoming part of a club. Like, are you guys familiar with Rotary Club?
Yeah, what is it?
I have no fucking idea. But there's people that
Nobody
are part
knows?
Of that club. And my stepdad was president of a Rotary Club once, and I don't understand any of it from top to bottom. I respect him for doing the work, but I mean, what the fuck is it?
Okay, so Delco, I'm sending you What is this that we're watching?
So this link is actually one of his yearly addresses. It's a State of the Safari address, similar to a State of the Union address.
State of the Safari address.
From the President Larry Rudolph. And every video that I saw this reminded me a whole lot of videos that you see coming out of Scientology.
Yes.
Just maybe not quite as cult-like.
Right.
But also a very, very overblown sense of self-importance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially with the way that he talks about how it was so important. I didn't put all the video links in here, but there's multiple videos of him talking about how important it was for him to run for leadership for the Safari Club International.
You know what would be rad? Like, you know how I would respect like a big game killer, really? Is that if you want to do it like with your bare hands or something, right? But this yes. idea that you are like you conquered this thing, because that's what they feel. You yeah. conquered this thing from how many feet, mile away with a, you know what I mean? Like
with a guide.
With a guide, with a gun, with a thing, like
all along the way.
That's the thing I don't understand, how they gain the self-importance from it. Like fighting the bear? Fuck yeah, dude. You're a president of the club. You know what I'm saying?
So honestly, the reason
chasing the leopard down and like shooting with an arrow, I don't know.
The reason I have so little respect for these kinds of hunters is because, like I said, every single adult male in my family and even children in my family, we all grew up as hunters. Like we spent a lot of time hunting. It was an important thing in our family. But almost every single adult male in my family, once they got past a certain age, they switched from the point where they would hunt prey animals like deer and duck, things like that, to where they would strictly hunt predators because that's where the next stage of challenge right. was. And then all of them transitioned from using rifles to bows, making it as difficult yes. and as, you know, roughly fair as you that. Possibly could. That I respect. And we all also used all the meat that we got. The shit that they're doing, it's
fish in a barrel. What yeah, do we got?
It's so cheap. I mean, not monetarily cheap.
No.
Hi, I'm Dr. Larry Rudolph, president of SCI. By now, you should have received your registration materials for the May 12th through 15th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting in Washington, D.C. This will be an historic event. For the first time in the history of SCI, each board member, whether domestic or international, has the
yeah,
ability
you are supposed
to
say
the board
and
vote
technically,
for your
yeah.
candidates using video conference. You now have a voice and a vote to engage in your elected process. As your president, I encourage you to attend the board meeting and particularly the full board meeting on Saturday, May 15th. Our elected representatives need to see us on Capitol Hill.
What the fuck are they doing at these meetings?
Important to hunters. However,
oh, it's from
please register for the video.
Last of the Mohicans.
You should have already received your registration materials
like,
for
I
attending
know that
yeah. for registering for video conference.
What a piece of shit.
If you have not received the materials for registration.
We haven't received the materials, Larry. Forget it.
At the
numbers Cut
listed
it.
Below. You may fax
No, thank you, Larry.
God, every address he made was like that, where it was.
This is your kid. I think this is your kids are grown kind of thing. Maybe. I think their kids are older a little
around,
bit at this
around
point.
That time, they would have been roughly adult aged.
What the fuck?
But also, it kind of explains how the kids turned out the way that they did. So I looked into the kids a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not a big fan of theirs also.
No. So like many great presidents before him, Larry's time in office came to an end amidst a scandal. Other members of the club leadership began to suspect that Larry was using his powerful position at the head of the SCI to line his own pockets. Even worse, there were rumors that he was following in Bill Clinton's footsteps. What a G. And coercing young and impressionable women to sleep with him. Larry, what? Larry, what?
How could anybody possibly abuse the power in that position?
Why would anyone become a dentist if it's not to fuck chicks?
Consensually?
I think consensual. I think it was affairs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He's very rich and well-known in this small community, right?
Yeah.
So it's not
It's not like a laughing gas situation.
No, it's a
It's not like a you better do this for me or I'm gonna.
It's a I'm the guy from the commercial. You know I'm fucking rich as fuck. Like
I want to fuck the dentist.
You want to fuck the guy in the commercials that you know has millions of dollars, right? It was more that.
Is that what it is? Because how was he using? He definitely wasn't using his looks or anything like that, but using the position as the head of a safari hunting club.
His big game connections. His I'll be big like, I'll game show connection. You. I'll show you a koala.
So I don't know if it was in. So they were looking at weirdly, like they were looking at him because he was president as a whole. So everything he was even doing outside of the club, right?
Yeah.
So the rumors of affairs were not with people in big game hunting. It was just like his life as a whole.
So
in the small community, they were hearing stuff. I don't know why that's not cool, by the way. Like, what the fuck do they care? But whatever. Larry's trouble with the SCI came to an end in 2016 with a flurry of lawsuits. After so much drama and political intrigue, Larry and Bianca needed a break from the hunting community. So these lawsuits were actually from Larry to the SCI for trying to kick him out.
It was for like he could have just or something like that.
Defamation. So he could have left and just been like, all right, man, like whoever's next or let's elect someone else. But he decided to use his wealth and high-powered lawyer or whatever, lawyers, to sue this group that he wants to so bad be a part of for defamation. So he said on the stand, I'm not having an affair, you know, lied. I think he won.
I think he won
the lawsuit, but it was like, obviously things were fractured. So Larry and Bianca needed a break from the hunting community, so they planned a trip to go hunting, which is how you take a break, right?
As you do.
Everything's crazy in the hunting community. You know what we need to do? Go fucking hunt.
Need to go shoot some animals.
Yep. This time they would return to one of their favorite hunting grounds, as I said, Zambia, leaving on September 27th. They would spend 2 weeks on a resort in Zambia where they could choose from a menu of animals to hunt.
The most dangerous game of them all.
Yes.
Human beings.
Right?
Well, actually, I actually have a little something for you in here. When I was putting this episode together, I knew you were going to be on this one, so I added this in.
Okay.
So here's some of the prices from the actual like menu that they would provide to the people that
gave them
to the
a
resort.
Menu, as you said, with your friend.
Yeah. So first of all, $16,000 just for the trip package, and that's not if you're hunting anything.
Right. It's the walk in the door.
Yeah, that's walk in the door. Just getting in the door.
Like we said, like they were so avid, did it so much. They actually had their own cabin that was built in this kind of.
Yeah, it was built out of the bones of the animals they already killed. Yeah.
Oh, they was built, by the way, it was built for like a song, probably. They were friends with everyone there. Everyone, they had everyone in their pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Put a bunch of money into it. And
yes,
they built
the
cabin
paid all these people to look after the cabin, all of this. So, like, they were well known in this small community as them. Those bitches, but go ahead.
So $16,000 just to get your foot in the door. Then if you want to shoot a baboon or kill a baboon,
whoa,
$250.
That's nothing.
That's
for
nothing.
$16,000 plus $250 to kill the baboon, you could actually live out your dream of seeing if you could fight a baboon.
It's true.
Yeah. Could you do that? I mean, does it matter how you kill him? Could Delco pay that and then be like, I want to go out there and fucking fight him?
I mean, if you're paying $16,000 up front, I imagine you get to choose the weapons. Right?
Yeah, my
hands. It's one of those things. Yeah. One of those things that we'll see in this story that plays
a
big part.
Brought my own guns.
That plays a big part in it is that this is a poorer country, right? And so if you are willing to pay, you can kind of get, in many respects, what you want.
Would you want to eat baboon, though? It's like eating human.
No, but as we said in the beginning, they're not eating. Right. They're not taxidermy. They're literally just killing and going back into the cabin.
I'm just saying you
personally. To have a drink.
Would you
eat baboon?
Would you eat baboon?
No. I don't even eat.
They eat pretty dirty.
Yeah.
I don't even eat deer.
I mean, they'll eat a little bit of everything. I mean, they'll eat their own shit. So I don't think I'd eat any primate. I know some places they call it bush meat and they'll eat like gorillas and stuff like that. But it's not the fact that it's close to being human. It's just like they eat similar to humans do. And that's a lot of gross shit.
Seems tough.
Yeah. Anything with not a lot of, even deer, like anything with not a lot of fat on it.
Oh, venison's great.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll get down with like venison like or fatty. Elk or, I mean, rabbit's pretty good too, but it's not real fatty. I don't think I could eat a monkey though.
Mm. No, never heard of it.
We almost used to be a country that ate hippo.
Well, you could shoot a hippo at this place also.
They did.
As long as you got $3,500.
Okay. They have a picture with a hippo.
I wonder what that tastes like though.
Apparently it tastes like venison, like a marbled venison.
Really? A combination of beef and venison?
Mm-hmm.
I can get down with some hippo.
Apparently, yeah.
I'd give it a shot.
Because we were having a beef shortage back in the 1800s. So they had a bunch of hippos. They're proposing to move a hippo farm into New Orleans to factory farm.
No shit.
Yeah.
I think Pablo Escobar tried to do that or something. And then now South America has a...
He just had pet hippos and they got it out, yeah.
But they got a breeding population of hippos down there now.
Oh, yeah. They're an issue.
Well, if you want to shoot a hippo, it's $3,500. To shoot a crocodile, $3,500 also. Lion, most expensive one on the menu, $15,000 to shoot a lion.
King of the jungle.
That's kind of, these are a little bit less expensive than I thought.
Well, this was back in 2016, so if you adjust for inflation, it's probably gone up a little bit. Maybe $20,000 for a lion.
I mean, Biden's America, are you kidding me?
I mean, please.
In this economy?
We're getting...
Also, if you're short on, if your budget's short, you can strangle a local stray cat for $10, or you can get three for $20.
Package deal. It's like going to Costco, just bulk, buy in bulk.
Yeah, if you buy them in bulk. I mean, it's still, I think, kind of a ripoff because I've killed plenty of cats on the streets without paying a dime.
Not a single cent.
They're everywhere. It's super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Is it you or me, Coco?
Me. So Bianca wasn't interested in monkeys or giant crocodiles, and she definitely wasn't going to shoot a lion due to the rocky relationship between lions and Dennis, which happened in 2015 when Cecil the Lion got shot. Instead, she's had her heart set on watching the last breaths of a majestic leopard as it bled out in the African sun. That costs $7,500 for anybody who's interested. As we now know, Bianca didn't find a leopard on the safari. She instead found her untimely demise due to what the Zambian authorities had determined was a tragic accident. Now everyone was convinced it was an accident. Or not everyone was convinced it was an accident, though. The Zambians were, so they didn't give a shit. I think they brushed that off pretty quick. And that's not necessarily to talk shit about the police force in Africa, but I mean, they...
No, life's different there.
They brush this off.
Life's just different.
They don't have the resources. They don't have... I mean...
Well, they also just expect... death all the time.
People die pretty often in that area compared to here.
To their credit, they had some questions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They were okay, but they definitely logged things, took pictures of things, and had questions.
I mean, honestly, if I was in their position and I was like a Zambian tour guide and some rich guy's wife turned up dead, I'd be like, oh, yeah, accident.
Literally, I'd be like, no problem. Bring the next one over. You know what I mean? We don't want to cut this off.
Yeah.
Larry Rudolph contacted the U.S. Embassy in Zambia soon after Bianca's death in order to get some assistance returning her remains to the U.S. A consular chief that was assigned to help Larry plan the process was surprised when Larry began insisting that her body be cremated before shipping it back to the States. Bianca had been dead for less than 24 hours, and Larry was adamant that she be cremated as soon as possible. So he had talked to the people, the guides, and the people on property right away that came. Then the police came. He talked to them, and they were like, this is weird, but it was an accident. And from there, just more and more questions started to come up. The chief was suspicious, but went along with Larry's wishes and personally went to the funeral home to have the remains cremated. But before the cremation process was started, however, he requested to personally inspect the body. As a former Marine and combat veteran, he was familiar with the gunshot, with gunshot wounds. The wound on Bianca's chest told him that Larry's story didn't add up.
So I was curious to know if this case would have progressed at all if this guy hadn't raised a red flag, because the Zambian authorities had already written it off as an accident.
They said accident. They had their investigators come. Mm-hmm. They took pictures. They took statements. And by all accounts, they ruled it an accident. They did an autopsy, right? So that was the smart thing that Larry did, whereas like the autopsy happened in Zambia. Right? With their medical examiner, their whatever, that were going with his story. He's basically the big guy in charge. Even probably the authorities know him.
It's a layup, right?
It's like, a layup.
There's no way
it's
that he
smart
could possibly
as fuck
be caught.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they raised questions. But again, it wasn't the people directly on site. It wasn't the authorities that came. It was the higher up U.S.
And it's not like it was out of character, right? She was always on these trips.
Yes.
She was always coming.
They would go to these cabins all the time. This cabin all the time. They saw her a lot. They knew her and him. Like, it wasn't like, what the fuck happened here? It was like, you know, even the guy that came to the house was like crying with Larry because like he knew her.
Yeah, they had.
So it was a strange scene, but it was perfect for crime scene tampering and nothing to be really logged in the right way, right? Because it's like a friend and a whatever coming to look at the thing, and he's able to kneel down and, you know, whatever.
And any sort of way that they would try to mess up this guy's business, that's taking money out of their own pocket. I'm not saying that they were acting maliciously or anything like that, but in that situation,
no, but when Mr. Larry says it's accident.
Yeah, he's been there for years. You're not going to question him all that much.
I don't know how many times, though, they've actually seen a real accident with the wife. I know they've seen some wives dead, I will tell you that. But I don't know how many times it's actually been an accident, right? So,
as far as the records show, they're all accidents.
Yes. From
That's
Zambia.
How the business keeps
yes.
going.
So he was suspicious, and thankfully he went and took pictures of her wounds and the body before it was cremated, because he kind of thought at this moment there might be an investigation. But everyone up until that point, every check and balance that you needed up to that point was saying accident.
Yeah.
So he really didn't have anywhere to go except for just being a little bit weirded out by his insistence that she needed to be cremated literally the next day. Not like when you guys can and I'll take her home after that. It was like now. And they were like, okay, like he's like, no. So according to the official story, Bianca had accidentally shot herself in the chest as she was putting the gun in the soft zipper travel case. Crazy, though. A shot from that close would leave burns on the skin from the residual gunpowder. Bianca's chest wound didn't have any burns. For there to be burns on her chest, the shot would have had, for there to be no burns on the chest, the shot would have had to come from 3 to 6 feet away.
So I'm sure in our audience, we've got a lot of people that are familiar with guns,
yeah.
But when you fire a weapon, at least some of the powder comes out of the barrel unburnt.
Yes.
So if you're within a certain distance, some of that powder is going to land on you and it's actually going to burn the skin. For some reason, Bianca's wounds didn't have any powder burns around it, which, especially with the shotgun, is really surprising because shotguns throw out a lot of excess powder.
Yes. And this gun in particular was, they did a bunch of tests with like dropping it, trying to pull the trigger in a weird way accidentally, and it was very hard to do. It's not like a hair trigger fucking handgun or something. But
so the day after Bianca's death, Larry met with the consular chief for the cremation of her remains. Although he was still somewhat suspicious of Larry, he made casual conversation with him as the body was burned. During the conversation, the chief mentioned breaking the news to Larry's kids. And then Larry told him that the kids would be fine. Bianca wasn't their real mother. They were his children from a previous marriage.
Which is not true.
A complete lie. And in the moment, I can't even understand why he would say that.
What do you mean you don't know why?
Why would
he say it's an accident?
If he did do anything wrong, how's that going to do anything but muddy the waters, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think there was a moment too where he didn't want the guys. Like the guide heard it first, ran to the cabin. He didn't want them to call the police. And I think what he told them was, I don't want to get arrested, you know? And they were like, why would you get arrested? And he kind of was just like, well, it's always, you know, they're going to look at me no matter what, kind of thing, explaining it that way. So from the jump, from the people coming to try and help her minutes after they heard, he's already saying like, don't call authorities. He wanted it to be him and the guide, right? And the people that he paid. He wanted everyone in the room to be on the payroll. Right? And then he just wanted to take care of it.
Perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal, dude. What?
So as Larry left the crematorium, he asked the chief consul a few extra questions. He wanted to know who had access to the police report made by the Zambian officials, and he also wanted to know how easy it would be for people from the U.S. to gain access to those documents.
Listen, normal questions.
Totally
for
normal.
For a guy that just lost his wife in a tragic hunting accident. The day they were leaving, right? So they've been there for 2 weeks. They're about to get on the plane. And he's like, I got to do it now. What, Doug?
Just, you know, his soulmate. Dentist. Big game enthusiast. How are you going to replace her?
Impossible.
It's impossible. They were married at this point, right? 34 years. They should have started swinging, huh?
Probably should have.
That might have helped.
I mean, that's honestly all you had to do.
That's his theory.
Well, no, I said 90% of all couples eventually either cheat or swing.
Okay, well, you're on to something.
So I think from our two episodes that we've done today, we're 100%.
Well, we'll see.
I knew my mom was a whore.
Anyway. No, there's a 10% chance she's not.
10%. Not bad.
Yes, strong enough. I don't believe it, though. All right, so...
how easily it was to gain access.
So it was obvious that he was concerned about what information people could find out about Bianca's death. It was yet another suspicious action in a long string of suspicious actions.
Back in the U.S., Larry started making a bunch of strange decisions. First, he didn't tell anyone about Bianca's death until the funeral had been scheduled. So when he was heading back, he called his kids and said, we're coming back and we're not going to the nephew's wedding. Something weird and ominous. Or mom had an accident. Something. Wouldn't say that she was dead until... to anyone, friends, whatever, until the funeral was planned. She was already cremated. He had her ashes, right? So everyone was just kind of like, what? Even the kids are like, what is going on? He first said, even though she was dead, he called the kids and said, called his son and said, mom's been in an accident. It's okay. Well, I'll keep you updated. And then called her. This is all from the States. Then called him later and was like, you know, gave him the news.
Sorry, my mistake. She's dead. She's not going
to
be
fine. Well, you know, like not even giving him time to like see her or anything. Just like, oh, what? She's dead now. There was an accident. She was okay. And now she's dead. So weird, right? He didn't tell anyone about Bianca's death until the funeral had been scheduled. He didn't even break the news to their children until over a week after their mother had died. Friends and extended family were treated even worse. Many of them didn't hear of Bianca's passing until days or weeks after the funeral had been held. Being the husband of the deceased, as well as the only witness, made Larry a prime suspect, obviously. The Zambian authorities were convinced that it was an accident. They put it everywhere, like I said, shut case as far as they were concerned. But the U.S. authorities were still on the fence. Some of the people in Bianca and Larry's social circle also had their suspicions about Larry's involvement and were more than happy to voice their concerns to the authorities. Near the end of October, just a few weeks after the so-called accident, the FBI got their first tip from one of her friends. The anonymous friend was concerned about the circumstances surrounding Bianca's death, both before and after the accident.
So according to the informant, Larry and Bianca had been having marital troubles for many years, and Larry may have been having an affair. Both of them were unhappy in the relationship, but refused to get a divorce for different reasons.
Or swing. So they cheat.
Allegedly.
Right? Allegedly.
Larry was trying to avoid losing half of his fortune, and Bianca refused to get a divorce due to her religious beliefs as a Catholic. The friend also noted that due to Bianca being Catholic, it would have been against her wishes to be cremated.
Yes. Yeah, so in the Catholic Church, you know this, right? You Catholic?
I'm a Catholic.
Yeah, so...
I would never.
You don't, right?
Yeah.
It's just a known thing, yeah? Or do some, or are you more devout? You don't know?
I've actually never heard of that, no.
Oh, really? Yeah, so if you're very religious or Catholic or grew up Catholic, it's like, it's just unheard of.
You go in a box.
If you were raised, yeah.
You go in a box, you go on the ground.
A box, a tomb, a drawer, whatever. We want to know that your body is still there.
Or they cut you up, if you're a saint, into little relics. So you get little, your bones are all in training cards.
They ship you all over the world to be, you know, tchotchkes sold in a gift shop.
So authorities kind of felt, FBI kind of felt the same way about this tip that Delco feels, where it's kind of like, okay, but we don't know how devout she was. Like, we know that's a thing for like very, very, you know, strict Catholics, right? But
yeah,
that could be a tip. It could be a friend being pissed, whatever.
So Larry's actions upon returning to the States also raised suspicions among law enforcement. Once back in the U.S., Larry quickly began the process of, surprise, surprise, cashing in on Bianca's numerous life insurance policies.
That's what I always think is funny. It's just like, as soon as they get...
It is.
They die and you're like, hi, State Farm. What up with that money? We're good. You know what I mean? It's like, who even the day of or days after, like, even thinks about that?
You gotta ease the pain somehow, you know?
But like, yeah, I mean, I get it, but like, days after? Or do you have to jump on it? Like, I don't know what the thing is.
Well, how long should I wait, Jesse?
No, I know, but maybe like an appropriate like amount of time to be like crying in your bed, or I don't know. One day? 2 days maybe? What do you think is appropriate, honestly, Delco?
I would say it's the same amount of time that you should wait in between relationships. That'll probably correlate with the amount of time that you would think is okay to cash in on a life insurance policy.
Listen, a week, okay. A week, you've been grieving in your bed, whatever, you're getting casseroles to the door, you've whatever, the funeral, but like a day, like, you know what I mean?
A day.
No, I'm saying a day is crazy. Okay, at a week, you're maybe starting to
wait
like
at least a day before you cash in.
Yeah, like, did he even?
What do you think? 21 days? 21 days? That's what?
I'm honestly saying after a week or 2 weeks, when you're starting to like take a shower and things are starting to clear and you go, okay, I need to take care of shit. But that can't, there's no way that that's your thought literally right after that you're like, oh, I need to take care of paperwork.
See, I think that there was a very, very specific downfall with the amount of time that he waited before he started cashing in the life insurance policies. Because like with my family, when my dad died, my mom had to cash in the life insurance as soon as possible because we were poor as fuck. Like we needed the money to survive. But
I understand
with that. Larry had a lot of money sitting around. Like he wasn't necessarily for cash.
Yes.
So it wasn't a survival thing for him to cash in on the life insurance as soon as possible, especially seven fucking life insurance policies.
That's so many insurance policies.
Yeah.
Yes. Totaling what? Do you say it in here?
Close to 5 million. Around 4.82 million, I think, was the final number.
Why do they let you take out that many insurance policies on some person?
They're not going to cap it. They want money, right?
Yeah.
So you can take out as many, as much, as long as, you know, she's in relatively good health, they'll fucking give you.
Also, how long had he had these insurance policies?
That part I wasn't able to find. Okay. I was curious about the same thing.
So the amount of time that he had them was not really in question. It was more like, it wasn't like he got them right away.
It was a slow burn. He's been planning this for years.
For interesting seven life insurance policies, there's got to be some red flags that go up if you take out that many within a short period of time. But even seven in general, that's
seven's
really
a lot.
Excessive.
I think I have three on me.
Three?
Well, there's business.
How important do you think you are, Jesse?
I didn't do it. I didn't take it out on someone else. Someone did it on me.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Be careful. I'm telling you guys so that it's on fucking tape.
You got witnesses now.
Yes, you have witnesses. But there's different things. So it's like for business, you have one, right? For different things, but yeah.
Interesting.
I know.
Interesting.
I know.
One for business, one for pleasure.
Now you guys know.
And the last one's just for recreation or something?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, for some reason, this stay-at-home mother had seven different life insurance policies totaling more than $4.8 million. Within a few weeks, Larry had all of the insurance money safely deposited in his bank account.
Yeah, so they didn't have any reason. And by the way, they don't like to pay.
Oh, no.
Right? So they're going to look into it a little bit, and what they see is accident, accident, accident. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes them more money to not pay out. So if they actually pay it out, they didn't find any holes in
the story. With that much money, they're going to try and, which we, many cases that we do on this show, when they get that much money or they're really pushing to get the insurance money, that's when the insurance company is like, let us just investigate and make sure we have all the documents to make sure that this is whatever.
The one single insurance investigation that I've ever been through determined that somehow my car had hit another person's car by sliding sideways into them.
No.
And no, full blown. Like this guy.
And that was your fault?
Backed out of I didn't have to pay for it. The insurance paid for it. But the.
Yeah, well,
the
you have to pay for it eventually on the back end.
That even though this guy backed out of a parking space and hit the side of my car and slid my car across the parking lot, there was no evidence that it wasn't my car that hit his car, even though wheels don't point that way. So they do their due diligence to an extreme degree.
Yes, yes. As time went by, the feds continued to quietly gather information on Larry for nearly 3 years. They were unable to find any definitive information that disproved his account of Bianca's death. That is until 2019, when the feds received yet another tip from an acquaintance of Larry and Bianca. This time, it was a disgruntled former employee. After being cut loose from the Three Rivers Dental, the former dental assistant went to the FBI with some gossip about their previous employer. The informant
think about that
told
next time you talk about replacing either me or Delco.
Oh my gosh, how much shit do you have on me?
We got dirt.
And so the real deal is like, which I always say, I'm not gonna fire you or replace you, but you're replaceable. But I'm not going to do it.
Of course.
But I just need you to know that you are, you know?
It's like nuclear war, mutually assured destruction.
Yes. So she came with some gossip about her previous employer. The informant told investigators that Larry was indeed having an affair with a woman named Lori Milliron. This wasn't a new affair either. To your point, Delco, it had been going on for over a decade. Time enough to get some insurance policies in time to put things plans. In place.
We need another term for that. That's not an affair. 10 years?
That's a whole other ass fucking situation, right?
That's another family.
That's another family. Yeah. And she did have kids as well. What I don't know is if he knew the kids and stuff, but she had kids too.
I mean, after that many years, he had to have known.
He had to have met and run into him?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
He'd be like the new stepdad.
Right?
Or proposed stepdad. Investigators learned that around the time that Larry and Bianca started trophy hunting, he also started bagging a different kind of trophy. After 18 years of marriage, things had started to grow stale and the lack of passion was causing fights. The couple decided that in order to save the marriage, they needed to start having sex with other people.
Oh, swinging.
So they agreed to have an open relationship.
Oh.
Except it was only Larry that agreed to it. Bianca had no fucking idea that they had an open relationship.
So yeah, Larry would tell people that he was in an open... Classic. This is a classic move. Where the guy says, oh, we're in an open relationship, and the wife has no fucking idea that that's the case.
It's also very Catholic of her to stay with her man, though, knowing that she's he's banging out other women.
She didn't know, though.
Well, she eventually does, right? Like, I imagine she knows about some of her. She hears things.
She had suspicions. But yes, as a good Catholic, you turn a blind eye and you believe your husband, right?
It's all about that faith.
Yep. It should be noted that this claim about the open relationship came from Larry during his time as president of the Safari Club International. So when he was impeached for his philandering ways, he attempted to defend himself, like I said, countersuing or suing, actually, because they weren't suing him. They were just trying to get him out of there. He decided to launch a full-on trial and sue them. So during this deposition, he attempted to defend himself by making the claim that he wasn't cheating on his wife. He was simply taking advantage of the arrangement he had made with Bianca. So because it was a deposition, she would never see it. He could say whatever the fuck he wanted, right?
Hold on. There's a morality clause to be the president of the Safari Club?
So that's what I was saying in the beginning. I'm like, why do they fucking care? But they probably, here's what I think, is they probably didn't like him. And so like with anything or president, if you don't like him, you try and impeach him, right? For something, whatever you can. So you're like, oh, he's cheating on his wife. There's got to be something in there that we can get him out on that, right? So I don't know if he was likable and awesome, if they would have done that. But with him, they did.
I think he was about as likable and awesome as anybody that runs for the president of the club. Like anybody who runs for that position, that is the exact type of person you're expecting to deal with.
Right. So they didn't like him, and neither do we. But Larry used the newfound freedom of the one-sided open relationship to begin an affair with a manager at one of his clinics named Lori. As we said, the casual fling took on a more serious tone as the years passed. And by 2015, the tension in Larry's relationship with Lori began overflowing into his marriage. So Lori was no longer happy being the side piece, as would happen after fucking 7 years, right? Or whatever.
Ten,
but like, I'm sure she started saying shit at what? What do you reckon? 5 years? Started being like, hey, man.
Yeah, that would even be generous, I would think. What is
this? Yeah.
What are we?
She's working. Hey, so.
You think it would be clear considering he was married.
He was married. He's the owner of, he's her employer. So she's working for him. They're around all the employees, whatever. So I'm sure she was just like, I just don't want to like be sneaking around and acting like we're not together for fucking 10 years and still trying to treat these employees like they're fucking stupid and don't know.
You know what it was?
What?
You know, it was kind of like popping off around that point.
What?
You got to post your significant other on Instagram. I think Instagram changed things for her.
Oh, because what? Because people were
Because
posting?
She's just seeing like all of her friends post their, you know, their husbands, their boyfriends.
Yep.
It's around this time where Instagram just starts to pop off. And
you start to see it holds a mirror up to your relationship, good or bad. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, well, fuck. And he's probably at this time posting with the wife, right? With the family. I sent you the picture of the hippo.
Okay. Social media ruins all, though.
Her name 100%. Her name was Bianca Jesse, and she's dead. You shouldn't call her a hippo.
You motherfucker.
Oh, the actual hippo.
The hippo. And I only send this to him and have us put it up because it looks crazier than you have in your mind of like what it looks like for them to be next to the hippo, right?
So that's
Bianca with the guide and Larry being like, and by the way, can we talk about Larry's hand on the guide's leg? Yeah. Weird, huh?
Is it? Yeah, it is.
Okay, it's a little weird, is it?
No, I mean, it is on his leg.
It's on his leg. In this like weird way. Now, that's not part of this. We can't even go down that road. But
I think we go down that road. We don't even have to go down the road. We can just make a rash decision. Yes.
Right. Or we can just put a picture up and go, what do you think?
Gay boy?
But it does look.
No, look at the way that he's.
With the stick holding open the mouth for the picture. Like, this is fucking bonkers.
So I'm telling you, he swings both ways.
He's got his fingers way too relaxed for a hand on the knee with a friend. Like, if you're
why would
grab
it be
your
there?
Friend's knee, you're going to be like.
Why wouldn't it be? By the way, why wouldn't it be on his own leg like
this?
It's
not even on his knee. That's
why wouldn't it is close to the crotch.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That's groin.
Why would it not be on his own leg? Take a power stance, you cuck.
I mean,
now.
That's boner territory right there. Anybody's hand goes that close.
That picture, in so many ways, is banana. I mean, it's insane. It's a really fucking weird picture.
I wonder what the hippo did to piss him off.
What was the hippo?
Are we sure it's not his bowl?
I don't know. Like, there is a lot, there is going to be, and I'm sorry at the end of this, lot of unanswered questions.
Is this kid fucking his wife?
So as far as I know, that's one of the tour guides, but he does look suspiciously like their son.
Yeah, and I wouldn't, maybe, ew.
Is it his son?
Is it the son? Is the son into it too?
It would make more sense if it's his son than a random tour guide.
But that's
who
they went.
That does look a lot like his son. That might be his son in that picture.
That would make way more sense.
That's the son. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
We're just asking questions.
But by the way,
if my dad,
he's holding the gun like this. He's looking like a guide. But by the way, the guide is taking the picture, and the guide did all of the work, and he has put the gun in the son's hand. He's put the stick in the hippo's mouth. He's posed this picture for this family that is now going to say, look at us. Look what we did. This is fucking insanity.
That kind of hunting is stolen fucking valor. Fuck those people.
It goes, his newfound freedom. Oh, yeah. So she was unhappy. And she wanted to be the main piece. She was tired of being the side piece. The information about the affair directly directed investigators to look into the relationship between Larry and Lori. They discovered that a few months after Bianca's death, Larry had taken his mistress on a lavish vacation to Mexico. He's just dumb after dumb after stupid after dumb. And by the way, he had the perfect plan. And he's dumb. Soon after returning from their trip south of the border, Larry and Lori moved in together and made their relationship official after your wife of 34 years is shot tragically months later. You are moving in with a gal.
Listen, some people move on quicker than others. All right.
Thank you. He's always good for a little devil's advocate, huh?
That's it.
I mean, how much time should I wait after my ex-wife dies to move on to another lady?
Okay, that is a fair question.
It's a hard question.
But I think a handful of months is just a tiny bit too soon, especially when you go on a trip with a mistress.
This case is based on vibes, right?
Is it age appropriation too, or like age? I guess like my grandfather, after my grandmother died, started dating and moved in with somebody like a couple months later.
Wait, how old was he?
He was like in his 70s.
Oh, dude, fucking champ right there.
Right, because time's
well,
ticking.
Well, he was, at a certain point, he was like, we're done. And we're not getting a divorce at 70, right? So you're just kind of like.
But she died, and then he just like found somebody else on eHarmony.
Yeah, because guys cannot be alone. But.
I love being alone.
Yes, you have perfected that. But a lot of people that got married super young, married for 34 years, whatever it may be, they don't fucking know where their butthole is. Do you know what I mean? Like they had someone fucking telling them, literally, I'm telling you, where every single thing is, where you go to the doctor, dude, all of this.
So a mother?
Kind of.
Is that what they're supposed to do?
So I sent you a picture of her. Let's see. Like you're asking if it's age. Well, you were saying it was just age, but let's take a little look at Lori. And by the way, worked in the office, very close with Larry. Everyone in the office knew they were together, but didn't know, but knew, but didn't know.
Yeah, she was a manager of one of the clinics.
She was a dental assistant, but she started moving up.
Worse.
But she was moving up into managerial roles, and people were kind of like, what? Okay, so this is her. So not super young, not like I went and, you know, I'm having an affair with a super younger woman, right? She's age appropriate. She looks the same age as Bianca. No? Little younger?
Yeah,
I
roughly,
don't know. I mean, little maybe, younger, maybe.
Maybe a couple years younger.
Different vibe
hairstyle
than Bianca.
Bianca's got the
mom
hairstyle, and she's a little bit more up to date.
She's an Italian Catholic mom.
They're similar.
And Lori
right?
is a fun gal. I think they're similar.
I do too. Like it's not like he's going super young here.
No. I don't think he's going super young, but he's definitely going different.
He looks great too. How old is he?
How old was he?
60s.
He looks great for 60.
I think he was 57.
Look at him. 58.
Look at this man.
Bianca died.
Looks fine.
Yeah, he has money, right?
He definitely looks like a dentist.
Yeah, he just looks like a normal, rich older dude. Whatever.
So it goes without saying that the honeymoon phase between Larry and Lori was long since gone by the time they moved in together. After 16 years of dating, living in the same home just gave them more time to air grievances. Can you imagine
that? Yeah, because it took like 3 years for the investigation. Now we're up to like 16 years together.
Yeah, and they'd known each other since early 2000s. So they'd been
And the wife has now been dead for what, 5 years? Mm.
Well, at this point, roughly 3 to 4 years.
So the thrill of what makes cheating a thing is gone.
Well, also imagine the fact that they started this relationship like 10 years before Bianca even died.
I know.
They've already gone through all of the relationship high points behind the scenes. At this point, they had to have already like resented each other.
Finally moved in.
At what point
in the relationship do you actually need to move in?
Yeah,
like
you've been together
a year, 2 years,
living that separate life.
Apparently, you can stretch it about 16 years if you really push it. You just got to, you know, have a tragic death in the process.
Keep it spicy in some ways, right? Kill somebody, you know, be on the run. Yeah.
At that point, that's the only thing that's going to keep it
spicy. Go to Mexico, the lavish. When you go to a lavish vacation in Mexico, you know the relationship is over.
Oh God. As soon as somebody takes me to Senior Frogs, I know
you go,
that we're about
all right,
to break
just
up.
Tell me we're done, right? Come on.
So as a result, arguments were frequent and loud. It was one of their many arguments that gave investigators one of the more compelling pieces of evidence in this case. Much like his previous relationship, Larry spent a lot of time arguing with Lori about money. And that was a big point of contention between Larry and Bianca also, which even somebody making millions of dollars, they're arguing about money all the time.
Well, Coop, women be shopping.
Right. What was the argument? Or was he spent, who was spending?
That's what I was wondering also, like who's spending all the money? Because it...
I almost think it was like he had some, because... I think he had some weird debts and some weird things because needing to get the insurance policy and he tried to do some other fraud insurance before that. I think he was keeping some secret debt.
He was blowing money on something.
Yeah. We don't know what it is. We didn't find any of that, but.
Did he have another affair?
Listen, affair, I mean, with this affair? Guy.
Oh God, Lori would be so pissed.
This guy, honestly, I have no idea, but he was not as flush or liquid as the gals wanted him to be. Let's put it that way.
Playing the part using his position as the president of, you know, Safari Club.
Yeah, ladies don't, you know, they like a net worth until it doesn't clear at the fucking mall.
Maybe
you know
some
what I mean?
Tax issues.
Something. Yeah. Something happened, yeah.
So during one particularly heated argument at a steakhouse in early 2020, this was actually right at the beginning of the pandemic, and what Larry and Lori were arguing over was the profits had dropped because not as many people were able to go out and get, like, you know, elective dental surgeries.
Yeah,
and
you can't have
like
somebody
that,
in your fucking mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. God, that was worst part of the pandemic for me.
Right.
So Larry got frustrated with Lori's lack of appreciation for the life he had given her. For a moment, he lost control of himself and angrily shouted, "I killed my wife for you." That is a wrong fucking thing to say in an argument if you're even suspected of killing her
wife. If you're in public in any way.
So by 2022, the feds had finally built a strong enough case to arrest Larry Rudolph for the murder of his wife. And that's a big surprise.
In a steakhouse.
In a steakhouse. Right. Do you go into this witness at all?
No, not in depth.
Okay, so the Steak 44, it's exactly how you think it is, right?
Was a bartender or something like that?
He's a bartender. He's fine. But like the steakhouse itself is exactly how you think it is. Like a hotel lobby, a neon light under the bar. It's the place to go for a people of a certain age, a dentist, a dental assistant,
at their age,
whatever.
Though, too, because they never go to really good restaurants.
No.
It's just like whatever's
convenient.
It's
like consistent, right? They have the soup that they want. The steak is cooked the way that they want. And so they would go there
like
all the time.
Steakhouse version of Cafe Blue.
Yes. Actually, that exact decor is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Steak 44, expensive, but not revolutionary, right?
Step or two above Outback.
Or like an STK, right?
No, what's the one? Vince Young?
Sure.
But it's like a Vince Young.
Or like
Young.
A Perry's, right? Like I'm trying to think of like a national chain.
So he would go, he's a regular at one of these, you know, at this place, Steak 44, which is like, if you're a regular there, like, right? But he tipped very well. The guy liked him. So he knew him. He knew Lori. He knew them coming in together. And he said, in this weird turn of events, the music, for some reason, stopped. Like, it was almost like a fucking record scratch.
And the music cut.
The music cut, and that him saying that.
I killed my wife.
I killed my wife for you, right? Like, because you always have, you know, couples fighting, little drunk.
Room just goes dead silent.
Seriously, and that's what he testifies. But it's like, you know, you'll see a couple kind of fight. They're a little bit, the martini, they're kind of fighting. It's getting a little heated. You would see the voices raising, but you can't really hear because the music, whatever, it cut out. And that's what this guy heard. He heard it. The girl that was working with him heard it. He was just like, what? He was like, it was crazy because it was in a fight. It wasn't a joke. It was like directed, you know, you go like, oh, you can kind of laugh it off and something else. But I thought it was funny that like a record literally
stopped,
scratched, and he said it according to the bartender. Now, can we trust a bartender ever? No.
Yes.
Yes.
They got all the dirt.
All the dirt. Okay, go ahead.
I've had good experiences with ones in Austin.
Hey, I bet, bud.
Ayo.
This ayo, dude's ayo, getting ayo, late, ayo. Am I right? Electric Church or what?
Oh, no. When it was still open, somebody talked about it too much and got it closed down. I don't know who that was.
You.
It wasn't me. Joel was the one talking shit about it all the time.
Coop loved this after hours gay bar.
Oh, Electric Church.
They were so nice to him.
It wasn't a gay bar. It was gay for the people that were.
All the guys were super nice to me, and I loved all of them.
It was a place I would go to get free drinks and meet women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not a gay bar.
Okay.
So by 2022, the feds had finally built a strong enough case to arrest Larry Rudolph for the murder of his wife. They had established the means, the motive, and the opportunity. So the means was the shotgun, the motive was a pissed off mistress, and the opportunity was being alone in a cabin in fucking Africa.
100.
And they had also thoroughly debunked his version of the events on the morning of October 11th, which most people should have been able to debunk the events. I think that you're right that the Zambian authorities were kind of in the pocket since he was paying a lot of the bills.
Once they got pushed by U.S.
Yeah.
authorities and FBI.
It's got to be federal, right? Because it's international crime.
Yeah, it was the FBI that finally got involved.
Yeah.
So investigators had determined that there was no possible way that Bianca could have shot herself. The lack of powder burns around the wound proved that the shot came from further away than Larry had initially claimed. The powder burns, she didn't have any powder burns around the wound. She had like all the major organs in her chest completely eviscerated, but no powder burns.
Yeah.
A drop test also proved that the shotgun was unlikely to fire on its own, and reenactments of the situation showed that there was no way Bianca could have reached the trigger of the weapon, even if she was actually trying to kill herself. And that's something else that Larry also claimed during the cremation when he was hanging out with the chief consul from the Zambian consulate. He was like, she probably shot herself.
Yeah.
Like, so tried to claim that it was suicide, just very casually, though.
Yeah. So Larry was finally arrested and charged with murder in 2022, nearly 6 years after Bianca's tragic death. Along with the charge of first degree murder, Larry was also hit with charges.
Boa.
Just put the mic right up to him.
Boa.
Boa, what's up?
Come here. Sit.
Just a couple.
Sit. Well, this is what they come for.
Couple minutes more.
Sit. Stay.
All right. Good girl.
She's
almost
done.
And
it's getting late.
So he was finally arrested along with the charge of first degree murder. Larry was also hit with charges for insurance fraud due to cashing in on Bianca's life insurance policies. Murder trials for wealthy criminals tend to run longer than usual, and this was the case for Larry. Although he was arrested in 2022, it would be nearly a year before he was put on trial and found guilty of the 2016 murder of Bianca Rudolph. For the premeditated murder of his wife, Larry Rudolph was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, we have to talk about, yes, the gun residue. There was a couple other things. He took the stand, which was, is never good. The jurors said that as soon as he took the stand and started talking about the lies that he told during the big game, whatever, the Safari League, what's it called? Yeah, they were just like, he lies, he lies, he's capable, whatever.
No, Safari Zone, yeah.
The Safari Zone, yeah, dude. They said on Dateline that was the moment that they were like, turned. In the beginning, they were all on board. This could have been an accident. We have no physical evidence to show us otherwise, and they still don't. Everything they have is circumstantial.
Yeah.
The life insurance, the mistress, the questionable behavior as far as cremating and getting the body back and all of that, as well as his story. They have pictures, his story that he was heard the gunshot while he was in the bathroom, like getting ready, almost like out of the shower, and frantically went to his wife. The pictures that they have is he's fully dressed, tucked in shirt, belt, boots on. Like, he is dressed for the day. No frantic situation involved there.
Unless he was so the type of person that wears cut-off jean shorts in the shower. One of those never nudes.
Yo, a never nude, yeah. The other thing is the guide said that, as they do, they have people after a hunt completely clear their guns. They see the bullet, you know, they see that it's clear. They see that it's empty. Safety's on. And then they let them go. They saw Bianca do that as well as Larry. So they, once they were pushed to actually talk about it, then they said what happened. Before that, they would have been very happy to say, Mr. Larry, it was accident. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when FBI and everyone got involved, they had to finally say, oh yeah, we cleared their guns. So there's no way that there could actually be bullets in her gun when she's putting it in. So they had all these kind of things, but again, no real DNA, physical evidence. But again, you're not going to in a room alone, whatever.
And so, I mean, even Bianca herself, with the amount of time that she had spent hunting and with the amount of time that
there's
she
no
had spent
way
shooting guns,
that was a couple of the tips that came in. There was
you would clear a weapon before you, like, any time that you pick it up, you're going to clear a weapon if you have any.
You're part of a safari club.
Yeah,
you're not just a girl that, like, what he should have done was never let her get into big game hunting, never let her join the fucking club, and then take his wife on the safari and shoot her in the heart. By the way, he'd be out right now. No problemo, right? She's a novice, right?
I think it's really because he just told on himself.
Because he just sucks.
Exactly, yeah.
It was just in that restaurant, that steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. So they did save that bartender witness for the very last witness before they rested as this, like,
slam dunk.
Slam dunk, because come on. Anyways, so for premeditated murder of his wife, Larry Rudolph was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility for parole. Along with his life sentence, he was also ordered to repay the $4.8 million he received from the insurance policies. You know who's pissed about that?
Oh yeah,
the kids.
His kids. Ugh. As well as a $2 million fine. Lori, by the way, was tried right after him and was also she was charged as part of accessory to the crime after the fact. And Lori had demanded that Lori divorce his wife, sell his company within a year, or else Lori would leave. So she gave him an ultimatum. She knew about it, whatever.
She drove him.
Larry killed his wife.
His wife. Yeah, well, that's what you're saying, right?
That's what the court's saying.
That's what a lot of people, like, have really tried to frame the story as. And I think that it's pretty fucked up that Lori got 17 years for that.
I don't know. She knew about it.
Do you think that...
The thing of him saying, I killed my wife for you, goes both, it incriminates true. Both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
In
yeah.
that moment. So using that witness set up perfectly a trial for her.
Also,
for sure.
What's a guy like, you know, what's this guy doing in federal prison? Like, how's he gonna fucking last?
I mean.
Oh man, yeah.
I know.
He's getting fucked up. He's not getting fucked up as much as, like, child predators or something like that, but he's not having a good time. He's probably a piggy bank for some car.
And he's a bitch. Nobody likes him. But Lori got 17 years in prison as an accessory. In the end, this story has taught us one very important lesson. If you are a dentist, don't go hunting in Africa. It didn't end well for the guy that killed Cecil the lion. And it went even worse for Bianca Rudolph. I think what we learned actually from this case is how to get away with it. Right?
I feel like that's what you take away from most of the cases. Like,
listen, I'm looking at what the investigators are looking at, the red flags, and you go, don't do that, right?
I know what I learned. When my mistress wants to be elevated, that's when you break it off.
That's a no. If you're not cool with being a side piece that I pay for fucking everything,
I will replace you.
I will replaceable. Just like you guys, you're replaceable, huh?
I'm
not going to replace you. I never would. I don't have the power to, but I want you to know that you are.
Coop, she's calling you her side piece.
The way that you just brought that together made not only this case make sense, but it made this whole like business situation make sense.
Yeah. And now you're going to make me kill Joel. And you're going to pressure me to do it.
Nope. Now
for 10 years.
Now I'm going to stay out of your way. I understand it now. Yep. I just had it explained to me.
And you also understood that everything I get out of the case is how to do it myself better.
So I know you're going to be good at it.
Gosh, but you guys saw all the mistakes he made, right?
Oh, yeah.
He had those people in his fucking pocket.
Yeah,
those people that came to the cabin were ready to ride for that story.
Worst of all, he didn't go for a young, impressionable mistress. You got a lady that was like close to the same age as his wife. She's going to see through all his bullshit.
With kids?
Yuck.
First of all, yuck. You're absolutely right. And then secondly, it's like now we know, and I think we always knew, and so did Larry, that like they're going to be cool with whatever you tell them. You just need to be fucking cool when you tell them, right?
Yeah, don't fucking rush it. You know, don't just be like,
chill.
I need the money now, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can't be like a crackhead.
Don't like, you know, make it so that like, hey, do the autopsy, whatever. It's a gunshot wound. What can they fucking get from that?
Oh, by the way, she was never your mother.
Right. That weird shit.
Makes no goddamn sense.
There was just so many times where I'm like, I would not do that. And Beach, chill, dude, chill. It happens. It fucking accidents in Zambia on safari happen all the time. Chill fucking out, dude. He was just fucking prolapsing all over the place, right? He was tense, prolapsing. There it is. Thank you, Delco, for helping us out. My cyber bully to Joel is that he is replaceable, but... you did great. We'll have you anytime. He's like, no, I'm good.
Happy to help.
Happy to help.
I'm gonna go watch Eagles.
Let's keep it going. Love you, buddy.
I'll be back next week.
Beautiful.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.